Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Monday. I can smell football. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor has emerged from the desert in Arizona. She and Scorpions, the only ones that survived this weekend of 120 degrees.
It was 115, yes. But it was beautiful where we stayed, and Earl was in the air conditioning gym for the College Basketball Academy of the NCAA, so it was a good weekend. But yes, Phoenix is hot right now.
I was up in Lake Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which was 79 degrees and beautiful for cancer charity. So we had kind of disparate weekends, but we land back here. It is a Monday.
Yes.
We have a ton of stuff today. Great video out. Good stories. So I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. I've been leading with them for a week because, as I've told you, I would trade Ezekiel Elliott for lots of draft picks. Amari Cooper said yesterday, 1 year left in his contract. I want to be here. I'm not holding out. I don't even want to talk about it. That's a media topic. Dak Prescott said, I'll get to it when I get to it, even though I'm a fourth round pick. By the way, Jason Garrett only has 1 year this year on his contract. He said, it's not a topic. Zeke, 2 years left, is holding out. Not to mention, he just got out of the principal's office with Roger Goodell a month ago, and he's still acting up. So let me just start with this. I'll let you inside the way I see life a little bit. I don't like to be trapped economically. I hate it. This is why I eat before I go to airports. I get a sandwich before I go to an airport. So if my flight's delayed, I'm not paying $18 for a chicken sandwich. This is why I eat before I go to games. So I don't pay $27 for average nachos. I don't like being trapped economically. Some stuff I have to pay for. I got to pay for gas, and it's expensive in California. I got to pay for groceries. Groceries can be expensive in California, but I don't like being trapped economically. So I eat before I go to airports, and I eat before I go to games. And I'll do that the rest of my life. Doesn't matter what I make. I don't like being trapped. The Dallas Cowboys, now NFL owners and NBA owners are different. NBA owners usually cave. NFL owners, it's a 50-50 split, whether they pay somebody in a holdout. I think Dallas is going to cave, and I think Jerry's going to cave because he loves Zeke. Jerry, in his own personal life, was imperfect and sometimes need to be monitored. And I think Jerry can relate to players. That's why Jerry's always seen himself as a young oil maverick. He's a risk taker. He's fun. He's a social drinker. He's out there telling stories, flirting with the world. That's who Jerry Jones is. So I think he supports players who make mistakes, can be a little young, a little childish. And that's Jerry's kind of guy. He has a history. But this is where I wouldn't want to be Dallas. They're trapped. The reason Pittsburgh was not trapped with Le'Veon Bell is Pittsburgh drafts a running back every year. I mean, they drafted James Conner. This year they got a kid out of Kentucky, Benny Snell. New England's never trapped. They didn't need running backs. They had the deepest running back corps in the league last year outside of Cleveland. New England drafted another running back. Philadelphia's got like five guys. They drafted another running back. Philadelphia, New England, Pittsburgh. The reason they don't get trapped on running backs, they just keep drafting them. Meanwhile, the Cowboys went out and drafted finally another running back, Tony Pollard, who was the second best running back at his college. He's more of a receiver than he is a running back. So Dallas now is economically trapped. They're trapped. They got to pay him. And I think they will pay him and they'll work it out. But this is one of the things I just don't like being. And I think if you watch the better run teams in the NFL, I think the Colts now, multiple backs. Eagles, multiple backs. I think in New England, multiple backs. Pittsburgh's got multiple capable backs. Cleveland, give John Dorsey credit. Cleveland's got multiple backs. That's the way, in my opinion, to do it. You don't get trapped economically because when a position and running back is now an inevitably, unavoidably violent position in football, it just is. By the way, the Chargers with Melvin Gordon, they're not trapped. They'd prefer him, but the Chargers are not trapped. The Rams a little bit now. They just drafted a running back at the end of last year. The Rams felt trapped with Todd Gurley, paying him a ton. He's hurt. So what do they do? Their second pick this year, the Rams went out and got another running back. So I think Dallas is going to pay him. I don't like paying people 2 years early. I would not cave if I was Jerry Jones. But if you look at his history, you look at the running back situation right now for Dallas, I don't think they have a choice. They backed themselves economically into a corner. They now have to pay, you know, they got to pay $17 for a chicken sandwich in an airport. They're going to have to pay $19 for a Heineken at a baseball stadium. That's where the Cowboys are. They got to have him. They backed themselves into a corner. Linebackers, they got a couple, you know. Wide receivers, they've got a couple I like. Running back, they got a dude, one. They're going to have to pay him. All right, so let me shift to this. So the NFL Network does this every year. They list their 100 best players, and they release like 10 at a time, 10 at a time, and they always throw a curveball in there or something just to get guys like me to talk about it. I'm a sucker for lists, and so they get me every year. And this year, it's not egregious, but we now have a new player in the NFL that is completely disrespected, and his name is Deshaun Watson. He's the quarterback for Houston. So the NFL Network put Baker Mayfield ahead of Deshaun Watson. And this list, by the way, is always based on last year. It's voted on by players. So one of my big problems I have with the American sports media, and I would say this is my biggest problem with the American sports media, we never consider what you're surrounded by. If you're good, it's because you're great. And if you're bad, it's because you're terrible. Well, that's not the way. I'm doing the best show I've ever done in my life. That's because I'm surrounded by the best management and the best group of coworkers. We never in sports consider, well, what is this guy's offensive line like? What did he inherit? Who's his coach? So Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson. Now, never forget this. Baker Mayfield comes into the league. He inherits Jarvis Landry, a 90-catch Pro Bowl receiver. He inherits David Njoku, first or second best tight end. He inherits three good running backs. He inherits an offensive guy, Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, veteran offensive guys. Deshaun Watson comes into the league. He inherits the worst offensive line in the NFL, marginal to below average tight ends. They don't have any running backs of note. And he has one great receiver, which, of course, is always hard to throw to when you're on your arse running for your life. So NFL Network today, Baker's better than Deshaun. Let me give you a few numbers. Last year, Deshaun Watson won 11 games. Baker won 6. Well, Baker's a very accurate precision passer. Really? Because behind the worst offensive line in the league, Deshaun Watson completed 68% of his throws, Baker 64. Well, but Baker, yards, Deshaun Watson, check. Interceptions, Baker 14, Deshaun 9. And oh, by the way, I'm not even mentioning the fact that one of them won the high jump championship in the ninth grade in Georgia. One of them maybe is the best athlete in the league at quarterback, Deshaun Watson. 5 rushing touchdowns and 550 yards rushing. Behind an atrocious offensive line with no tight ends and no running game. NFL Network, are you just trying to get under my skin? Are you watching the games? Now, over the next 10 years, who knows what happens? But in terms of leadership qualities, let me remind you of something Deshaun Watson did last year. With a punctured effing lung, they couldn't fly him to a game. They had to bus him to a game. They went 0-3 to start the season, Houston. And Deshaun, this is what leadership looks like. Deshaun Watson put the team on his back and won 9 straight games. History of the NFL had never happened. In the history of the NFL, it never happened that a guy opens the season 0-3 and wins 9 straight. Brady didn't do it. Montana didn't do it. Peyton Manning didn't do it. Brett Favre didn't do it. Y.A. Tittle probably didn't do it. Deshaun Watson with a punctured lung behind the worst offensive line in the league did it. You got to be kidding me. We have a new guy in the league that's the most disrespected. By the way, Nick Saban twice had 6 weeks to prepare for Deshaun Watson and couldn't stop him. Johnny Manziel beat Nick Saban once after Bama had played back-to-back tough games. Then a third straight week, Johnny Manziel had a great first half, and basically Saban figured him out at halftime. He had 6 weeks twice to prepare for Deshaun Watson and couldn't figure him out. Baker inherited a great situation. Veteran offensive coaches, Pro Bowl receiver, fledgling superstar tight end, tremendous running back group. Deshaun Watson's been dealing with an albatross of an O-line, no separators at tight end, one great receiver, but he's doubled, and it's hard to consistently get the ball to people when you're on your back. I mean, this is the classic example of, can we at least acknowledge what people are working with? Even Kobe Bryant, one with Shaq and one with Pau Gasol. How'd Kobe do in between that? Not much. What did Bill Cowher do as a Steeler coach? What did the Steelers do between Bradshaw and Big Ben? That's with great owners, good GMs, great Hall of Fame coaches, Cowher and Tom. What did they do between Bradshaw and Big Ben? They were the Lions. Didn't do anything. They weren't winning championships. Lord, can we just acknowledge that some people in life grow up with rich parents? Some people grow up with poor parents. It's kind of an advantage. Sam Darnold, and I know you think this is a Darnold thing. Darnold inherited a horrible O-line. No receivers. A good tight end who now is suspended for the first four games and no backs. You think he's going to struggle a little with a defensive coach? I mean, come on, folks. We got to consider what people in life inherit. Where do they come from? Do they have to deal with a chaotic family? A chaotic offensive line? A coach? I mean, NFL Network at this point is just trying to make me mad. I'm convinced that that's the whole game now. Yeah, what list can we do that Coward will talk about? I am tired of it. Thank God I ate great seafood in Idaho all weekend, or I would be in a terrible mood.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So on Mondays, you know, I have a lot of opinions, and I think it's only fair that if I'm wrong on my opinions, I come in on Monday and say, yeah, whiffed on that, good on that. We call it Colin right, Colin wrong, so let's not waste any time. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I said from day one, Dak Prescott doesn't have an arm that I love. It doesn't have the size I love, but there's something about that square jaw. Always says the right thing. He just reeks of leadership. This weekend, a story came out from Jerry Jones. He said, quote, one of our sponsors wanted me and Dak to do a commercial the first year, and Dak was a fourth rounder and needed the money. Dak said, Mr. Jones, I don't know with this team that I deserve to be in a commercial with the owner. On behalf of the team, if you don't mind, I'd like not to be in that commercial. Jerry Jones said, kid, you're in it. I'll pull myself out. That's why you pay him. Again, I'd rather pay him 28 than 32. This is why you pay him. Professional sports is overwhelmingly 22 to 31-year-old young men. Now they're rich young men. You got to have a grown-up in the room. And I think Dak always answers the bell when it comes to savvy and self-awareness. This is a kid I'd pay. Again, we can barter over the pay thing. And I do think being a Cowboy quarterback is worth more than that is just on the paper. But this is classic Dak Prescott. Mike opens, says the smart thing. And this is a great story because none of us knew about it until this weekend. And I think it's why you have to pay Dak. A franchise quarterback, that's the kind of self-awareness as a rookie. That's not yesterday. That was as a rookie when he was making $400,000 a year.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it, but oh, Russell Westbrook sounded like he was going to sit over in the corner and watch Harden play at a press conference Friday in Houston. He sounded like the good neighbor. State Farm is there. He was supportive. Here he goes.
Me and James been friends for many, many years, since I was 10, actually. We played with each other for many years in Oklahoma City, and so to be able to win something, you got to be able to sacrifice some parts of your game, and we both understand that. We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship. So we understand what we have to do. I'm not worried about it. I know James is not worried about it. I can play off the ball. I don't have to touch the ball to impact the game, and that's the best way for me to be able to come back and impact this team, is I can do other things on the floor to be able to make sure we have a better chance of winning.
Well, it should be noted, you better be able to hit threes because that's what they do, and that's not Russell Wilson's strength. But I will say this, tip of the cap for self-awareness, tip of the cap for understanding it. The reality is, I'll believe it when I see it, they were 1-2 in usage rate last year, and Russell's never been a great shooter. He does a lot of things well. That's not what he does. But I'll give him this. He was very easy breezy. Wasn't uptight, seems to understand what he is. And as I've said before, this is Harden's team, Harden's town. And so if Russell is able to play off the ball, it'll work. And by the way, the first job of making something work is to acknowledge I have to change for it to work. So you got to give Russell Westbrook that.
Where Colin was right.
Detroit Lion. August 6th, Hard Knocks debuts with the Raiders. Now, I've said this before about John Gruden. He was a great coach. Then he was a TV star. I don't think he's a great coach yet. And I'm not sure if he'll ever be. He was out of the league 10 years. And I think Raiders want to sell tickets, and Gruden sells tickets. So they released a clip of Hard Knocks, which hasn't even aired yet. Oh, Lord, he is still a TV star.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies, all right? Everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dreams. Are you clear on that, Farrell? Okay? I mean that now. So get into that.
By the way, the Blue Bonnet Bowl last existed in 1987.
That's a good year.
Yeah, that's what I worry about, that John, some of this stuff, it played 10, 12 years ago much better than it plays now. I do think they have a chance to be a wildly entertaining mess as a fourth place team. Their talent's fun, but I'll say it again. When you watch that clip, is that a football coach or a star pretending to be a football coach?
I'm not into dreams. I'm into nightmares is a wonderful slogan for a shirt. That's great.
Okay.
Where Colin was wrong.
Lions head coach Matt Patricia is a genius. I never knew that. But Mike Daniels got cut by the Packers. 13 teams called his agent. He said, I chose Matt Patricia because, flat out, he's a genius. Listen, the guy wears a pencil in his ear with a laminated play sheet. I don't understand that. He looks like an unmade bed. Couldn't figure out which way to have his hat in week one. But apparently he's a genius. New England, by the way, their defense was better when he left last year. It was the best New England defense in years. But, you know, I'll say this. Some of this sport, you got to occasionally land a free agent. Mike Daniels, a very good player, Pro Bowler 2 years ago. And if a player thinks the guy's brilliant, he's not the only player that thinks that. And so I've been kind of rough on Matt Patricia because I think when you're an NFL head coach, you have to kind of even look like a head coach. You got to get your act together a little bit, and he's not been that so far. But if players are saying he's a genius, Mike Daniels is not the only guy that thinks that, so I'm wrong on that.
Where Colin was right?
Well, Cam Newton, I've been critical for years. Yes, he's talented. Yes, he's handsome. Yes, he's an icon. Yes, he's wildly inconsistent and not an A quarterback is what I've been saying. And last week, NFL.com, 87th rated player out of 100. That's the NFL Network, voted on by players. By the way, also 2 weeks ago, called a Tier 3 quarterback by NFL executives. Tier 3 meaning can't win big without tons of help. Also, if you've watched the show All or Nothing, it's more about fashion, music, and Cam and iconic stuff than actually football. Finally, everybody's admitting it. Yes, he's a talent. But you can't be an all-time great and not ever have back-to-back winning seasons. His inconsistency is part of his personality. It's hard to depend on.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't even know how it's possible, but Tom Brady led the NFL merchandise sales list this offseason. He's not lit. He wears kale pajamas. He's more conservative than a Twitter fiend. He goes to bed early. He's fairly private considering he's the greatest quarterback of all time. How he leads the NFL in merchandise sales. How many of you don't have a Tom Brady jersey? I mean, New England hasn't changed their scheme on the uniforms. It's the same Tom Brady. Boston's not as big as New York or L.A. or Chicago. You'd think there's other cities and other teams. Listen, I think Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'm not even sure if it's close anymore. But it's a stunner to me that he continues to lead Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham. I thought young people buy jerseys. Brady's the oldest player in the league. I can't figure it out.
where Colin was right.
Sam Darnold and Adam Gase over the weekend have become a mutual admiration society. I said when the Jets signed Gase, he and Darnold were perfect. One guy's a hard ass, the other guy likes to be coached. Sure enough, Adam Gase over the weekend, quote, Darnold can throw the blank out of the football. I love him. Darnold's quote, here it is.
Well, first of all, it starts with my parents. They were always hard on me as a kid, and I think they were hard on me because they found out that's how I like to be coached, and that's kind of how I like to be treated. And I think that's how I learn, you know, and for me, I think Gase kind of found that out quickly, you know, quicker than a lot of coaches do. Yeah. So it was good that he found that out. So on the field, he's able to, you know, when he needs to be critical of me, he can be. It's good, though. It's good all around because I respond well to it. And honestly, I think it's good for the whole team to see me, you know, being let into a little bit sometimes. You know, I think that's good for everyone to see, and, you know, I think that's how I learn best.
So they're already the Mutual Admiration Society. By the way, 30 of 32 teams had Darnold above Baker on their NFL board. Sam inherited an absolute offensive mess. Now, at least he's got an offensive coach. He's got a superstar running back with Crowder, Jameson Crowder coming from Washington, an elite slot receiver. They upgraded the offensive line. They are glue, and that's what we predicted they would be.
Where Colin was wrong.
A 16-year-old won $3 million playing Fortnite this weekend at the first ever Fortnite World Cup. A 16-year-old. Apparently, watching people play video games is fascinating. $30 million was at stake overall. After 10 weeks of open qualifiers attracting more than 40 million competitors, the Fortnite World Cup Finals. Congratulations to a 16-year-old from Pennsylvania, Kyle Buga Giersdorf. That's a lot of lettuce for a 16-year-old. Like, boy, I can barely parent my son now. I can't imagine if he came home with a $3 million check. Oh, wow.
Where Colin was right.
Team USA basketball is building its roster, and most of the good to great players have said will pass. It's a JV team now, and Carmelo Anthony is still not getting invited. Why? Because players love Melo unless they have to play with him. He doesn't play defense. He lacks self-awareness. He's never been in great shape. He's a nice guy, but he's not a good basketball teammate. And all you Melo fanboys, for years and years, said how mean I was. He cannot get an invite as a bench role player for Team USA basketball in a year when all the good players are turning it down.
Where Colin was right.
Said before, never be another Tiger Woods. Golf pros, everybody with a 4 handicap has been telling me for a decade, Rory's going to be Tiger, and Brooks Koepka, and Justin Rose, and Jordan Spieth. This weekend, Brooks Koepka won the WGC Invitational in the same year as winning a major. He's the 6th guy ever to do that. Tiger Woods did it 8 times. That's the gap between Tiger and Brooks Koepka. Koepka is terrific. Seems like a good kid. Totally focused. Long off the tee. Handles pressure well. But in the last 15 years, you've been telling me, maybe last 20, here's the next Tiger. So this, now I'm told, is the next Tiger. And for the 6th time ever, he won the WGC and a major, and Tiger's done it 8 times. That is the gap.
Where Colin was wrong.
A massive asteroid got within 45,000 miles of destroying Earth over the weekend. For years and years, I thought astronomers were smarter than sportscasters. My bad. At least sportscasters could spot with a telescope a flying cruise liner headed for Earth. The massive asteroid, now named 2019 OK, as in, OK, we're all going to die. OK, we're screwed here. OK, here comes a flying luxury liner. Why didn't anybody spot it through their telescope? I was wrong. I always thought astronomers were way smarter than sportscasters. If we mess up a name, you crushed us. They missed a Carnival cruise line on fire heading for Baltimore.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Bucky Brooks played in the NFL, scouts. Now he writes articles. NFL Network analyst, one of my favorite guests. So when you write the article that's critical of Aaron Rodgers, I laugh about it because we both think Aaron's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel like, I know Aaron doesn't like me. Aaron's a top five quarterback in the league. I do think Patrick Mahomes is the next Aaron, where the golden arm, oh my God, he's doing stuff nobody can. And he hasn't had the injuries of Aaron. He doesn't have some of the wealth. You know, once you get wealthy, it kind of changes how you see the world. You don't want to be coached often quite as much. But your article basically said about Aaron, I think it was very fair, which is, listen, last 50 games, he hasn't been as good. You can blame McCarthy, but he has become a three-point shooter more than the gimme layup. Do you get pushback when you write articles like that?
Man, for sure. I got a lot of it. And I got a lot of it, and I don't think people necessarily read. Like, I can acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks that we've ever seen in NFL history.
Totally agree.
And I can say that at one point, he was the gold standard for the position.
Yeah.
However, when you're evaluating people, when you're evaluating players, even as a general manager, you have to take emotion out of it. So take the emotion out of it, and let's look at what he's really done. If you go back those last 50 games that you talked about, they're 24-24-1. He's completing 62% of his passes. His passer rating is below 100. And he's coming off a season that was maybe one of the worst that he's had as a starter. And so if all those things are going against you, how can you say, hey, he's the number one guy in the league when this is the golden era of quarterback play? We saw Pat Mahomes go 5,050. We've seen Phillip Rivers continue to kill it. We've seen Drew Brees set another NFL mark for completion percentage. At some point, you have to evaluate players for what they are at this moment. And at this moment, he didn't play like a top five guy last year.
Now, here's where I've defended him. They have not given him much defense to work with, so I'm not holding him to a Super Bowl standard. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had Tom Brady's defenses. No. He hasn't had Russell Wilson's defenses. And I do consider that. But I will say this. Offensive lines, his are always above average. They have drafted and developed receivers, O-linemen, tight ends excellently. So I'm not going to hold him to Tom's Super Bowl standards. What I will, and these are your top five quarterbacks right now in the league. Give me your five.
Look, when you think about it, it's Pat Mahomes, you have Phillip Rivers, you have Drew Brees, you have Tom Brady, and then look, we threw in Russell Wilson at five because Russell Wilson the last 2 years has played magical, even though they're operating under a run-first premise. When you're evaluating the position, like everyone is subjective. Like, do you want to put passing yards? Do you want to do quarterback wins? Whatever it is, I think it is a feel thing. Do I feel like this quarterback is elevating the cast of characters around him?
Yeah.
And it's never perfect because the reason quarterbacks are getting $30 million, they're supposed to be the Febreze. They're supposed to erase all of the things that stink in the franchise. The franchise quarterback is supposed to erase that. We've seen Tom Brady do that. We've seen Drew Brees elevate guys who weren't necessarily A-plus playmakers and make them play at a higher level. We've seen Phillip Rivers do that. We saw Russell Wilson play behind a bad offensive line.
And lead the NFL in touchdowns.
Right, and play at an MVP level. So if we're saying that is the standard, then we should expect more from Aaron Rodgers based on what he has been and what he's compensated to be at a higher level.
Now, Matt LaFleur comes in. He's a younger, a little hipper, a little cooler, a little progressive. I would say generationally, he and Aaron are about the same age. What do you forecast for that?
So the thing that Matt LaFleur has to do early, he has to establish a respect factor from Aaron Rodgers. Because he doesn't come in as a decorated coach, like as an offensive coordinator or whatever, the thing that Aaron and any veteran player wants to look to is, can you make me a better player? How are you going to make me a better player? How are you going to elevate this unit? So Matt LaFleur early has to establish, here's what you can do to be a better player. I got a plan that is going to elevate your game. Here's the plan for us to get everyone around you to play at a better level. And if he's able to do that, and if early in camp, in preseason, in the regular season, those things work, then they'll be bonded. But if they don't, if he doesn't have the ability to have answers, that's when the rub could come from Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, because if he's looking to Matt LaFleur for answers and he can't deliver them, that's the issue. Tom Brady always knows, I can go to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick can give me an answer, and it's going to be the right answer more times than not. That's what Matt LaFleur has to establish with his quarterback.
I say Aaron Rodgers reminds me a little of Big Ben. As they've aged, they've gotten a little stubborn, a little banged up, not quite as precise as I think they can be. And leadership depends on the Sunday. And that's not a bang on Big Ben.
No, I mean, people, look, all quarterbacks are not built the same. They have a different way. It doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers can't lead and can't win that way. He can win in that direction. However, there has to be a trust and a level of communication between him and the head coach. He also has to have a trust and a level of communication with the rest of the team. Can he get on the same page with the young guys? Can he nudge and encourage them and get them to play at a higher level? Can he pump some confidence and some belief into them so they can play the way that he needs them to play so he can elevate his game? It doesn't mean that he can't be critical. He can't demand or do those things to try and elevate their play. But he has to have some dialogue. They have to have that consistent conversation. We've seen it. We've seen Tom Brady. We've seen others. Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers has done that because we've seen a number of former Packers talk about that. But it has to be consistent. And now more than ever, because Mike McCarthy is gone, Ted Thompson, who they talked about, maybe they didn't put the best team around him.
Gone.
He's gone. So now it is Aaron Rodgers. It is all on him because all the excuses are now removed. We now will get a chance to judge number 12 on what he does.
If I'm Stephen Jones, son of Jerry Jones, and you're Dak Prescott's agent, is this a fair conversation? Listen, we're the Cowboys. No state tax. I got you Campbell's Soup commercials. This is the greatest position in American sports. You'll get TV after this if you want. Aikman, Romo, Michael, Dion. Jason Witten wasn't a big personality. He was a tight end. We got him on Monday Night Football. Is it a fair place for me to start as a general manager saying, we love you, but there is a value to being our quarterback over the Bengals quarterback? Is that fair or out of bounds?
It's fair to a point. The issue that you have, those points are valid and they're great. But when Dak Prescott looks out and he sees Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz comes in at 31.5, and on paper, resume, you can say Dak Prescott has exceeded what Carson Wentz has done. When you talk about second most wins since he entered the league behind Tom Brady, we judge quarterbacks on their ability to get the team to the winner's circle. He's been able to do that. Now, does he have to get everything? No, but to think that he should take a discount, I think is unfair because what he has done, he's given the Cowboys a lot of bang for their buck for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
The average quarterback was making $20, $22 million. Dak was making less than $1 million. So for a couple of years, they had an $18 million threshold that they could earmark money other places. They have to pay him. They have to pay him at a top at market value. And I think they will. I think it's just trying to sort out where did the pieces of the puzzle fit. Because, look, when you're there, and I was there at Cowboys camp this weekend, he is clearly the leader. He is the right guy. He checks off all the boxes.
You were at the Cowboy camp.
Yes, I was at Cowboys camp this weekend. He checks off all the boxes from an intangible standpoint. He is everything. And so they need to pay him, but they also have a talented team. And he should be able to look around and say, if I win games, I'm going to get elevated. And so it's about finding the right price point where he's satisfied monetarily while also having enough to pay everybody else.
Yeah. Years ago, I went to a Home Depot in the winter and I bought a grill for like $190. It lasted 15 years. And if that grill could have negotiated with me 15 years later, it could have taken me because I got. And so similarly, that almost never happens in retail. When you buy something for nothing, it lasts forever. Everything breaks, right? Dak is, you know, you don't get Russell Wilson much. Third round Hall of Famer. Now, Dak's not a Hall of Famer, but when you get a fourth rounder and I get him for free for 4 years, it's hard to ask that young man. you made less than DJs in your city. I listen, if Dak came to me and asked for the world, it would almost ethically, and I know owners aren't known as, they don't care about that, but I mean, just I would struggle to look another man in the face knowing I paid $190 for a grill at Home Depot and I used it 15 years. Dak has been the cheapest great quality item in the world. In our world of sports, Dak's the only star that's made nothing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's very similar to what the Seattle Seahawks were able to benefit from Russell Wilson. They get a guy that, the reality of it, when you draft someone in the third round, in the fourth round, those guys are viewed as developmental players. You don't have expectations that they're going to be high-end starters, play at a high level. Russell Wilson played to that level. Dak Prescott has been a solid starter. Whether you want to put him at the top 15, in the middle of the pack, fine. But the numbers say that when he plays,
they win.
They win. They go to the playoffs. They win the overwhelming majority of their games. You have to compensate them for that. And when you look at other guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins, he should get paid.
By the way, I know Dak is not a grill, but it was an interesting analogy, I thought. I never forget. The only time in retail I ever felt I got a deal on something. So, you know, we were talking about the NFL Network comes out, and they do these rankings on stuff, and Deshaun's under Baker. You know, and we have always had this in my life. There was a quarterback years ago named Jim Hart, who I always thought was wildly underrated, but he played in the middle of the country. He wasn't a Packer. He wasn't a Cowboy. He was in St. Louis. Nobody paid attention to him. And Jim Hart, and then I think he was replaced later by Neil Lomax.
Yes.
They were both great quarterbacks. I saw Neil this weekend. And he just didn't get a lot of love. Kenny Anderson in Cincinnati.
Yes.
He just didn't get any love because he played in Cincinnati. He wasn't a Steeler. He wasn't a Cowboy. Deshaun Watson's lower than Baker Mayfield on some NFL Network list. Timeout. I don't think we understand that Deshaun Watson has played behind an atrocious offensive line. And if you start looking at his numbers, he's really an impressive player.
Very impressive player. You talk about the offensive line. How about we talk about the coach? And if we use the same things that we've used in the past for Aaron Rodgers, we could throw that out there. Does Bill O'Brien really elevate quarterbacks? Did Bill O'Brien do his best coaching job the second season that Deshaun Watson was the quarterback? The first season, they did some things that Deshaun did at Clemson, made him look successful. He elevated, played at a high level. Last year, did they do those same things? Is Bill O'Brien an elite play caller? So when you're looking at Deshaun Watson, are we judging him fairly? When it comes to the Deshaun Watson-Baker Mayfield comparison, I can understand the Baker Mayfield bounce. The Cleveland Browns had low expectations. He comes in.
And surpasses
them. They play at a higher level. They play 7-9. They're very competitive. They're fun to watch. So it's easy to get swept up in it. The litmus test for both guys, Baker Mayfield, second time around as a sophomore, how does he duplicate or build upon that success? Has a talented supporting cast. You would expect him to be able to do so. Deshaun Watson, what is the next step? We saw him in the playoffs. It looked a little fast for him. Can he go to the next level? Look, he is a guy to me that is still very, very underrated. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's one of those guys that's going to be a top 10 quarterback very soon. Now it's a matter of, can Bill O'Brien put him in the right situation to allow him to use all of the talents that he shows?
Good seeing you, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Read his article, Bucky Brooks.